Good morning, ladies and gentlemen,
all over the world.
Good morning. It is Monday here on Church Boy Confessions. He will direct your path.
So what's there to fear again?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Thank you so much for tuning in once again to the Church Boy Confessions podcast. I'm your host, Emmanuel Heke. Welcome back to second week back, you know, episode 201. And welcome to March, to the month of March. Hope you guys have had an amazing past week. And even if you had a challenging week, I appreciate you taking out the time to listen to this podcast. Hopefully it could be relaxing. Hopefully it could be insightful. And yeah, you know, God is still in control. And that's something we're going to be talking about a lot this episode. Just want to also say, you know, thank you to all the people who reached out to me. And I always love to get the positive feedback and the, you know, the affirmation that the things that God is using me to say and using me to teach are actually impactful. So shout out to all the people, you know, who actually listened last week and yeah, gave me their feedback about how it was really helpful episode. So if you haven't checked out that episode, definitely go back and check it out. And for those of you who reached out to me, I really do appreciate it, because yeah, that affirmation that I get, although I never want to rely on it, because, you know, I don't want to, you know, that's my alarm. All right, the alarm's off. Although I never want to rely on, you know, affirmations and stuff like that from other people and praise from other people, like, it genuinely is something that will always warm my heart. So thank you. Thank you for taking out the time. But it is the month of March, and this month of March, we're doing something really special. We're doing something for the ladies, man. We're doing something for the women. We are doing a women's month this month, all right? We did our men's month for the first time ever back in November. And now it's the ladies' turn. So we are going to be having content, and we are going to be having an event that happens later on in the month, where the women are going to get to come talk together, and we're just going to be addressing different women of God issues or women of God topics and conversations. And our hope is really that, you know, you guys are able to, well, I guess you ladies can define yourselves by God's design for you and your womanhood, and really be empowered in that. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I hope that you guys like it. It's the first time we're really doing like a whole women's month built out. And I mean, it's no secret that predominantly the women, you know, the people in the church are women, predominant of, you know, most of our community is women as well. So I think it's only right to really take some time to do things geared towards the women specifically. So yeah, I'm excited for that. Also, we have Bible study this evening, 5:30 p.m. If you haven't signed up for Bible study, you are missing out. We need you there. You know, sometimes I get behind this mic and it's really topical teaching. I'm trying to teach you how Jesus Christ is relevant in your life, and how we can carry ourselves out in this life practically, the different lessons that we can grab from the Word of God in order to, you know, live this life. And Bible study takes that turn as that, you know, that same turn as well. But with Bible study, there's an added layer of expository teaching that I think is very much lacking in our generation, so that you can understand things like the historical context behind things. More, we dive deeper into certain doctrinal ideas as well. And ultimately, I think that Bible study, the reason why Bible study is so important is because, at least it's one initiative that I'm starting to really care more and more about, is it helps you to be more biblically literate, okay? Because there are a lot of biblically illiterate people in this world, and I don't mean to say that as disrespect. You know, I've been that person as well. But the real danger in that is because there's a lot of false teachers and there's a lot of false teaching circulating the world today. And that's always kind of been the case. Apostle Paul is even talking about it in his letters that he was writing. But, you know, biblical literacy is very important, and it's something that I really want to like lock in with. And, you know, Bible study is a place for that. All right. So and it's something I'm going to start trying to incorporate more in these episodes as well, because I got the feedback. If you follow me on Instagram, then you saw like the questions, things I did on my story. And I appreciate all the feedback there, too. And yeah, we're going to make some changes. We're going to, by God's grace, you know, and with his lead, we're going to make some changes onto building off of like how we can be a resource to increase biblical literacy. That's just something that's been on my heart. But anyways, I digress, because today we're going to talk about we're really, you know, continuing from our last episode. Last episode, I told you guys we're going to talk about, it was so hard for me to say it before, but I rehearsed this now. 7 ways to know that you are depending on God. All right. Okay. Here are my notes. I don't know. I was looking for my notes. Where are my notes at? 7 ways to know that you're depending on God. All right. Last week we talked about being men, being women after God's heart. Right. We looked at David versus Saul. We looked at how Saul, when he sinned, he didn't even really care about his relationship with the Lord. He was just telling Samuel, hey, Samuel, who was a prophet at that time, you know, the king and the prophet, they had a close relationship. Hey, Samuel, can you just honor me, you know, in front of all these people? Like, I know God is mad. I know I did something wrong, but can you just honor me? And then David, when he sinned, he said, God, please don't leave me. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And we contrasted those two reactions to each of those two individuals sinning. And the conclusion that we came to is that we can tell that David was a man after God's heart and not Saul, because David was genuinely concerned and his first priority was his relationship with the Lord. All right. He wasn't concerned just about his responsibilities as kings nor his role as king. He wasn't this number one concern wasn't, you know, God's going to remove me as king. It was God, please do not take your spirit away from me. So when God told Samuel to tell Saul that, you know what, I'm done with King Saul and I'm going to find myself a king, a man that's after my heart, we see signs of that in David's life. We can define what it means to be a man, to be a woman after God's heart. It's someone who prioritizes their relationship with the Lord over everything else in their life. Over their responsibilities, over their family. Yes, I said family. God wants to be number one, even more number one in your life than your mama, than your daddy, than your wife, than your husband, than your pappy, than your kids, whatever it might be. And he deserves to be. You wouldn't have him without him, by the way. He wants to be prioritized over your education. Yes, I understand we have schoolwork. I understand we have classes. I understand being a student is hard, but God still wants to be put before your academics. He wants to be put before your job. I know you need a job so you can make money, so you can eat, but God is the ultimate provider, so he's not going to take that excuse. He still wants to be before your job. And there's a problem when we try to put these other things before him. We call that idolatry. And that gets obviously is going to get in the way of our relationship with the Lord if we're putting things before him that are not meant to be put before him. You wouldn't like that in any relationship that you're in life, where you feel like that person should prioritize you at a certain level, but yet they are prioritizing everything but you. Even though you express your love to them, you demonstrate your love to them, you demonstrate your care for them, you're there for them every time. But they still put other things and other people before you. You wouldn't like that. It's not right. It's not something that we should do with God either. All right. So David was a man after God's heart. David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible to really look at his life. One, because a lot of his life is written in the Bible, so it's all accessible information. But really because when you look at him, like there's a lot of great examples that you can pull. Obviously, you know, he still was a dirty sinner like everybody else, but I really do think that if we're going to preach about what it looks like to be a man or a woman after God's heart, we have to continue to look at David, because there's a lot of great stuff that you see him do in his life and we need to be attentive to it, right? And I think that something that we consistently see in David's life is how he depended on the Lord in really everything. So today we're going to talk about dependency. That's how we got here, dependency, because dependency is a pillar in our relationship with the Lord. There are multiple pillars that we have to pay attention to, but dependency is such a huge pillar when it comes to a healthy relationship with the Lord. It's very important. First and foremost, that's the way we're created. To be dependent on the Lord aligns with the way we were created. God has intended human beings to rely on the Lord. Self-sufficient independence. That's what our sin's goal is. Separation from the Lord. We don't need God. We're over here. We're good by ourselves. That is not the way we were created. And that's the way that we can send ourselves to hell. We were created to be dependent on the Lord. We were created to have that communion with him. And when we are disconnected, we cannot do the things that he literally put us on this planet to do. So all healthy relationships have trust. They have to have trust. And dependency is the expression of trust when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. You've probably been in many relationships, romantic friendships, so on and so forth. We all recognize that trust is a very important part of that relationship. And trust needs to be expressed. Some of us, the way we express our trust is, hey, maybe you're not going to look at that person's phone. Clap for yourself. But the way we exhibit our trust in the Lord is by depending on him. It's by legit being able to get on your knees and pray, get back up and not worry about something anymore because, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but we'll get to that. And the last thing I'll say, the reason why dependency is important is because dependency helps us to acknowledge God for who he is. He's the Father. He's the provider. He's our helper. That is who he is, and that's what he wants to be known by. And you can't really acknowledge that if you're not depending on him, if you're not looking to him, if you're not acknowledging him, right? Ultimately, dependency is what God wants. And God wants us to depend on him so much that you have to understand he dislikes when we try to do things ourselves and when we put our trust in other things outside of him. God doesn't like that. To prove that he doesn't like that, we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to go from verse 5 to 8, all right? I'm going to give you the backstory on Jeremiah because what we're doing now is we're giving historical context to the verses that I use because that's very important for us understanding and to increase biblical literacy, all right? So the backstory of Jeremiah is a prophet to Israel, right? At this point, Israel is split. Just know that Israel split between the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. I don't know why I can't remember what kingdom Jeremiah was prophesying to, but never mind that. Look at me talking about biblical literacy. I can't remember. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is that Jeremiah is literally telling children of Israel, hey, God's about to judge you guys. All right. And this is what he's about to judge you for. Because essentially what's coming up is a Babylonian exile. You can look it up yourself. Babylonian exile, or it's also called Babylonian captivity, where Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire destroy Israel and take the Israelites into captivity. All right. That's about to happen. So Jeremiah is warning everybody that, hey, the reason why this is about to happen is because you guys are very sinful and you guys need to stop. Right. So Jeremiah in chapter 17 is going through all these different sins that the children of Israel are committing and they need to stop. And since they're not going to stop, hey, this is the judgment that's going to come to you. Right. So pay attention to this because this is the sin that the children of Israel was committing. Verse 5, the Lord says, I will put a curse on people who trust in mere human beings, who depend on mere flesh and blood for their strength, and whose hearts have turned away from the Lord. They will be like a shrub in the arid rift valley. They will not experience good things even when they happen. It will be as though they were growing in the stony waste of the wilderness. In a salt land where no one can live. My blessing is on people who trust in me, who put their confidence in me. They will be like a tree planted near a stream whose roots spread out toward the water. It has nothing to fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no need to be concerned in a year of drought. It does not stop bearing fruit. May God bless hearing, reading, and understanding of his word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. All right. What's going on here? What's going on here is that God is pissed off that these people have been trusting in themselves. That's what he says in verse 5. He's saying that I'm cursing the people who depend on mere flesh and blood for their strength and whose hearts have turned away from the Lord. Because when we try to be independent from God, that's really what's going on. When we're not depending on the Lord, we're seeking out our own self-sufficiency and our hearts are being turned away from him. Have to understand, to turn away from God is not just turning away from any person. You are turning away from righteousness. You are turning away from goodness. You are turning away from your creator, your father, the one who is owed all the worship, honor, and praise and love. It is an unrighteous act. Trying to be independent from God is an unrighteous act. It is a sinful act, and God acknowledges that here, and he's not happy with it. God does not want you to do everything by yourself. God doesn't want you to be independent from him. God doesn't want you to try to figure out life by yourself either. God actually wants you to come to him and ask for help. And it's funny because that's contrary to what a lot of us might think. Like some of us might think that you're bothering God when you ask him for this and when you ask him for that. That's not true. You know what it really is when you try to just, you know, you look at God like he's a genie and you don't have any actual interest in his, in a relationship with him. That might be the conviction that you're feeling. But you're not bothering God when you're asking him for help, when you're asking him for a solution and so on and so forth. That is what he wants. He said, I curse the person who trusts in mere flesh and blood for their strength. He said that. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. He's upset. He's put a curse on people who trust in themselves and turn away from him, their hearts away from him. But he says, blessed is the one who trusts in me and whose confidence is in me. God wants to be your confidence. He wants to be the person that you trust. He wants to be the person that you rely on, that you depend on. That is the God that we serve. Stop thinking you're bothering him with your prayers. Stop thinking you're bothering him with your requests. Where else will you go and request these things? You're going to go to the place where you think you can get it. And God likes to be seen as a person that you know you can get something from, that you know will provide for you. Not using God, not saying that God is a genie, but acknowledging that he's a provider. He likes that. So don't feel bad about that. We should ask God for help because he wants us to ask him for help. Danielle, shout out Danielle, our editor in chief. You know, she combats that, like, you know, popular phrase where it says God won't put me through anything I can't handle. And I love the way that she does, because she says that God does put you through things that you can't handle so you can rely on him. And I love that. I like that better than the whole God won't put me through anything I can't handle. I feel like both sayings, you know, are saying what they're saying for a reason, and they both have virtue. But I've started to embrace that saying. God does put you through things that you can't handle. Which, when you think about it, he didn't put you through that so you can die. Like he didn't put you through that for you to fail. He gave you more than you can handle so you can look to him to handle it for you, because he wants to be your confidence. He wants to be your refuge. He wants to be your solace. He wants to be the place that you run to. All right? But a lot of us don't. We don't depend on God. And the reason why we don't depend on God, it really comes down to a lack of trust. Right? Some of us, the reality is, it might sound crazy, but we think that we know better than God. Like, we don't think that overtly, but like secretly we do. Even if it's in our subconscious, we think we got it. He doesn't need to be here. Or, you know, sometimes God's way is the hard way and we don't want to go the hard way. So we want to go the easy way. So we end up doing our way, which we think is going to be easier. Excuse me. And a lot of time is, it physically is. We don't want God's way. We want our way. So forget about God. So you can recognize that when we're not depending on God, the issue is a lack of trust, or it's a lack of surrender, or both. Right. But it's important for us to understand that if we are going to say that we're not trusting in God and we're not surrendering to God, then my friend, like, what type of relationship is that? Right. You're not trusting him. You're not surrendering him. I don't think that's an actual relationship with the Lord. I don't think it is. If you're not trusting God, you're not surrendering to him. I would even go as far to say that you are robbing God of the opportunities to reveal himself to you. And it's funny because many of us are asking God for guidance in our lives, but you haven't even let go of the grip. You want God to drive. You are not passing him the steering wheel. You're not ready to relinquish control. You want to hear from God. You want direction from God. But even if he gives you direction, you don't want to do it. You don't want to hear it. That's not what you want. Can I tell you that some of you are exactly where God wants you to be, but you're asking him for guidance? The answer is stay where you're at. You don't need to be guided somewhere else. I'll play it. No, but like seriously though, like we ask God for guidance, but we're not even in the posture of surrender. Like, what do you want God to do? You know? Because if he legit told you, I don't need you going anywhere. I like you right here. Are you ready to stay right there? Or are you ready to make a move and go ahead of him? That's not really where I wanted to go today. But I do think it's important that we recognize, man, if you want to see God make a move, then give him the space to make a move. Right? If you want guidance from him, then trust in what he's telling you to do. Depend on him. Trust in his instruction. Right? I think it's common for, you know, us, you know, young adults, right, to always ask ourselves the questions of like, you know, what is our purpose and what's the impact that we want to make in the world? And, you know, what do we want to do with our lives? You know, why do our lives matter? And I think that all of these are the right questions to ask. These are great questions to ask. Absolutely. But I think it's my job, it's Unassociated's job to help get us all to the place where we stop asking those questions because we know the answer, right? But I'm just saying, you know, in order for us to really walk into that and live in the answers and live in impact and live in purpose, then you got to be able to trust God. Because if you're not ready to trust God, then you're not ready for your purpose. Period. You need to trust him in order to fulfill the purpose. And if you're not ready to surrender to the Lord, then you're not ready for your purpose. Because you need to surrender in order to live out your purpose. Hello? God is the one that created your purpose. Remember? Remember that part. Remember the fact that Ephesians 2:10, God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us new people so that we would spend our lives doing the things he had already planned for us to do. There are things that God has planned for us to do. That's a different version from what I normally read. Don't be alarmed. That's the easy to read version. But this is what we're doing, biblical literacy. This verse reveals to us that there are good things that God has already planned for us to do. Sounds like purpose to me. I don't know about anybody else. So whenever I want to talk about your purpose, this is where I go to. This is my go-to. Welcome to Church Board Confession. My name is Emmanuel Heke Jr. This is what I do, all right? I quote this verse at least once an episode. But it's because it's so important, right? Because in Christ Jesus, God has made us new so that we can accomplish the good works that he prepared for us to accomplish. But notice how it says in Christ Jesus, he's made us new so that we can. It starts with Jesus Christ, and a relationship with Jesus Christ starts with surrender, my friend. If you are not in the posture of surrender, and if you are not in the posture of trust, if you are not depending on the Lord, all of that is a prerequisite. It's a prerequisite to fulfilling your purpose in this life. All right. Got to depend on the Lord. It only makes the most sense. He created us. He ordained us for all these good works, for the purpose that we have. Right. And he's going to help us accomplish them as well. He wants us to depend on him in order to do that. So why not depend on him? I've learned my lesson. Seriously, when I tell you, bro, the last couple years of my life, is it the last couple years or last 3 years? God be teaching me lessons, man. Like, you know, God has been beating the control freak out of me. I ain't even gonna hold you. Because I'm one of those, you know, hard-headed Negroes that sometimes, like, I'm not gonna listen unless it makes sense to me. And God said, bet. And what he did was he allowed me to see the evidence of my sin. He allowed me to be the control freak. He allowed me to try and figure all this out myself. He allowed it. Yeah, God allowed it. So now I can crash and burn. So I can actually see the evidence of, oh, snap, this stuff actually isn't good. Not only is it against God and offensive to him, and so it's bad because of that, it's also bad because it harms me, and it has the potential to harm other people, because then I became an overthinker and I had burnout, and, you know, I was waking up with anxiety and I was panicking every time something went wrong, and I was very easily frustrated and irritable, and I would also lash out on different people when they didn't deserve it and had nothing to do with them. All of that was a product of me trying to do, trying to be, trying to accomplish with taking God out the equation and just relying on my own strength. All of that. And you probably can testify to that yourself. You know, for me, I always came up thinking that depending on God is something you did when you didn't have anything else to do, right? Depending on God is the last resort type of thing. Depending on God is not the last resort. Depending on God should be your first resort. And I needed to unlearn that. God doesn't want us to just depend on him when everything is terrible and we have nowhere else to run. That's not the same thing as identifying God as your refuge or identifying God as your number one. No. Your number one person that you believe in, that you trust in, that's not the last person that you call. The last person that you call is the person that you don't want to humbly, you know, come before. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're in trouble, like, the last person that you call on is the person that you didn't even want to know you were in trouble in the first place. So why would we treat God like that? The one that loves us, the one that we say that we are here to serve. Why would he be the person that we only come to at the last resort? Nah. He's got to be the first resort. He's got to be the first option. And he wants to be the first option. Right? But I'm grateful that he showed me my error. I'm grateful that he showed me what was wrong. If I'm telling you, most of the problems I've had in life, the issues I've had, you know, just in the work that I do, you know, it roots down to just not being dependent on the Lord. So, about halfway into this episode, I'm actually going to start this whole 7 ways to know that you're depending on the Lord. And my hope is that, you know, one, you can kind of like gauge where you're at, right? But really, so you can see what you're not doing. That's why I'm doing it. So you can see what you're not doing, because, you know, I'm not here to make your head feel big. I'm here to challenge you. That's what we're here about. That's what Church Court Confessions is about. That's what an associate is about, you know, obviously to encourage you and to challenge you, right? You hear something that you're not doing, something that doesn't look like you, then, you know, take it personal and work on it. We'll work on it together. Because let me tell you right now, I'm not 7 for 7 either. So let's just be real. I'm not here to judge nobody. I'm not here to make you feel bad about yourself. I'm here to encourage you. Let's grow together. Let's make it happen. All right. So let's start with number one. We are going through the 7 ways to know that you are depending on the Lord. And the number one way, this is really, it's number one, but it's also is the through line of every other thing on this list. And the number one way to tell if you are someone who is depending on the Lord is when you analyze your own perspective on life, you realize that your perspective on life, your take, how you perceive the events of this world are through the lens, consistently through the lens of God's sovereignty, God's control. The number one way to know that you are someone who's depending on the Lord, is that you perceive the events of this world, the events of your life, through the context, through the lens of God's sovereignty. That is the key. That is the number one thing. All right? When you think about life, when you think about this world, when you think about the things that you've been through in life, you recognize and you adamantly seek to recognize God's hand in everything, because God's hand is in everything. And when I say everything, it's in everything. I know sometimes we say, oh, you know, God doesn't care about this, God doesn't care about that. God cares about everything. God's hand is in everything, and I'll prove it to you. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 to 31. We're going to be reading from the New English Translation. And of course, I'll start with some context here. What's happening in Matthew 10? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these are the Gospels of Jesus Christ. What you can expect to see in each of these books are the authors talking about Jesus Christ and his teachings and his life, and ultimately his death and resurrection. All right. So in this particular gospel written by the disciple Matthew, of course, when it comes to disciple, the authorship of the gospel, different people have different arguments in this world, but I'm of the opinion and of the argument that this is absolutely written by the disciple Matthew. But maybe, I don't know if I have to go that deep with every passage. I don't know. You guys let me know. If you guys, I don't know if it takes away from what I'm going to say, because I feel like I could talk about that whole thing with that. Like, anyways, backstory to Matthew chapter 10. Backstory to Matthew chapter 10. So Jesus is actually sending out his disciples to go and tell people that the kingdom is coming, right? The kingdom really referring to the coming kingdom where Jesus reigns on the entire earth, so on and so forth, which all of this is prophesied in the Old Testament. So God, Jesus is telling them, hey, go out to the Jews, right, that are in this area, and tell them that the kingdom is near. Basically saying, like, you know, get yourself together, understand that I'm the Messiah, you know, I've come, I'm here right now. And the prophecies of the Old Testament are about to be playing out, like, you know, obviously over the span of centuries. But like, Jesus is here, the Messiah is here, so on and so forth. All right. But before he actually is instructing them and he tells them to go out, he actually gives them a nice little pep talk, which essentially goes along, you know, basically is in it's Jesus telling them, hey, don't worry about anything. I'm going to provide for you. And, you know, don't be scared. All right. So, starting at verse 26, this is what Jesus says. Do not be afraid of them, for nothing is hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing is secret that will not be made known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetop. So he's basically telling them to teach everybody the stuff that he's been teaching them. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. So he's basically telling you, if you're going to be scared, like, don't be scared of anybody. Like, when you go out and spread the gospel, if you're going to be scared of anybody, you should be scared of the person like me, who can literally not just destroy your body but destroy your soul as well. But not to say that he's going to do that to them, but he's just saying, like, why be scared? If you're going to be scared of anybody, don't be scared of those people, right? But verse 29, aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them fails and falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, right? Verse 30, even all the hairs on your head are numbered. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable than sparrows. All right. So here, Jesus, in this pep talk, there's some important lessons that we have to grab from here. And what's really communicating here is God's sovereignty, right? Jesus says that two sparrows are sold for a penny in the market. That's what they're worth. But two sparrows can't fall to the ground apart from your Father's will, which means that God takes consideration for sparrows, birds. And then he says that all the hairs on your head are numbered, every last one. it's important for us to understand what Jesus is doing here. And right here, Jesus is trying to help the disciples understand the reason why they don't have to be fearful when they go out there and they start to spread the gospel. And the reason why the disciples didn't have to be fearful is because God is watching over them and he cares about them. God is in control of everything and he values them. Those are the two ingredients to a peace of mind: acknowledging God's sovereignty and acknowledging the fact that he actually values your life. When you are able to acknowledge both those things, that should give you the peace and the courage to do anything that God tells you to do. It should give you peace of mind in every situation, because the person that is the king and ruler of the entire universe actually loves you. And he knows more about you than you know about you. And he cares more about you than probably you care about yourself. Because I don't know anybody who has actually counted the number of hairs that they've had on their head. Don't. Shut up. Don't do it. I feel like a ball joke was coming in. Maybe I'm just traumatized. Anyways, God knows the hairs that's on your head. If God cares and takes consideration for two sparrows falling to the ground, and he considers you more valuable than them, think about what that means for the amount of things concerning you that God is concerned about, that he takes consideration of. That's the point. This is the pep talk that Jesus was giving to the disciples. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Don't go out there and be shaking in your boots. No. That me, I'm watching over you, that I care for you, and nothing getting past me. When you are able to acknowledge that, I'm telling you, man, depending on God, it becomes second nature. Because why not depend on someone who literally cares for you and can make anything happen? So, are you the person who is acknowledging God's sovereignty in all these different contexts of your life? In every context of your life, you gotta ask yourself that question. There's this song that I like. I don't know if I want to rap it though. I don't know if I want to rap it, but like, it's like it's Alex Jean. Right Over Wrong is one of the best Christian rap songs I've ever heard in my entire life. That's it. You just have to go listen to it. All right, but this is how the lyrics go. It's like, I was losing the fight in my head. Had me thinking I had none left. Really feeling I'm just a mess. Don't believe all the things they say. And you see all the pain they bring. They was wrong. And I'm mad that I gave you the thought because you know you was wrong. This is my part. And I'm looking at God and I see that he's still on the throne. That's my part. That's my part right there. And I'm looking at God and I see that he's still on the throne. Man, I love that line because that's it. That's what it is. When you can acknowledge that God is still on the throne after everything that you've been through, after how everything is going on, but you can acknowledge that, okay, hold on. The person that loves me is still in control. The person that said all things were together for my good is still in control. There's peace of mind right there, my friends. You see how it comes from dependency on the Lord, not trying to do everything yourself? I'm trying to tell you, man. That's what God wants. That's what God wants, all right? Some verses that you can use to help you meditate on God's sovereignty, right? I'm going to give you, of course, what we just read in Matthew chapter 10, 26 to 31. I'm going to give you Isaiah 40 and 41. I have read that so many times, still haven't memorized it because I'm not a memorizing type of person. But nevertheless, actually, am I? Maybe I just haven't put my mind to it. I think I am, actually. But nevertheless, Isaiah 40, 41, and Isaiah 45. A lot of Isaiah. Those ones, if you want to talk about God's sovereignty, those are some great places to read. Read them as much as you need to, all right? Just know that, all right? Context of Isaiah is very similar with Jeremiah. You have a prophet that's warning everybody, you're doing bad things. God's going to judge you. and the judgment comes in the form of the Babylonian exile. All right, but God's going to restore you after the exile. That is the kind of like the overarching framework of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, kind of Ezekiel. So just keep that in mind, all right? So, number two, what's the second way that you know that you are depending on the Lord? I would say you pray before you jump into action. That's how you know you're depending on the Lord. This is my stop. yeah. For me, you know, my first reflex, and I'm trying to work on it now, is to figure it out immediately. Something happened. Oh, how do we fix this? We need this. Oh, this is messed up. You know how, like, in the cartoons when, like, a character goes fast and then it's just, like, their cloud? That'd be me. But nevertheless, man, who would you say, I'll ask you the question, let me talk. Who do you trust in your time of need, right? We answer that question, the way that we normally measure the answer to that question is who's the first person we call on, right? And I think we always want to say God, but we don't really live that out practically. Really, the first thing that we do is we try to fix things ourselves. That's what happens when we get into a mess. And here's how I'll put it. It's very important for us to acknowledge God first. And it's very important for us to acknowledge God in prayer whenever a situation arises. And even when there isn't a situation that arises, because we want to live a life that's led by God. There are many benefits to living a life that's led by God. One of them being, since he's the expert in the life that he created and the life that he lived through his son, Jesus Christ, it only makes sense that when we want to figure out how to make a decision or figure out how to, you know, get out of a situation, whatever it might be, we go to the ultimate expert when it comes to life. God, the life giver, the life creator. Right? But, you know, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? You want to be led by God, because reality is, if you're not being led by God, you're going to be led by something else. I need you to understand how easily influenced you are. Like, in the cosmic scope of, like, all things created, like, spiritual, physical, everything like that, humans, we're really not that impressive. Like, we are very easily influenced. We're influenced by spirits, influenced by different humans. A lot of us are influenced by animals. No disrespect. But, like, yeah. Like, some of y'all be letting dogs lick your mouth. We'll pray at the end. Don't worry. But nevertheless, man, we're very, like, easily influenced. If you're not being led by God, you're going to be led by something else. Right? And I'm not even talking about people. I'm talking about emotions. I'm talking about sins. A lot of times the things that are leading us is either lust, it's pride, or it's fear, right? And when things go wrong, you know, and we're not slowing down and acknowledging God so he can lead us in a situation, we're actually just being led by fear. We're being led by panic. Immediately, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, because we're scared that everything is going to go down, right? Proverbs 3:5-6. This is probably something that some of you guys can recite on your own. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Look at that. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. You notice how it says in all your ways, not just when you're in trouble. You know, like I said, we're going to unlearn this idea that we only depend on God when there's nothing else for us to do. No, the Bible says in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So depend on God, all right? He wants you to acknowledge him, and we do that with prayer. Pray. When something's going wrong, when something's going right, pray to God. God, what should I do? Just say, God, I want to acknowledge you here right now before I make a move. Use me. Do something. Help me not to go before you. That's a great prayer to pray. God, help me not to go before you and help me not to lag behind you, but help me to follow you. Father, hold my hand. Father, help me. Father, I'm looking to you. Remember what we read in Jeremiah. Blessed is the man whose confidence is in the Lord, who's trusting in the Lord. Remember, that's what God wants. So we're gonna go to number three. Number three kind of relates to number two and number one. And the third way that you know that you are depending on the Lord is that you are being anxious for nothing, even when there's something to be anxious about. All right. You know, a lot of us, we want to live a life without any struggle. But the reality is, if you're a Christian, you should know that's not the life that we're aiming for. It shouldn't be the life that we're aiming for. James 1 say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and tribulations. Because when you let those trials and tribulations run their course, you're going to be a more perfect human being, a more complete human being in Christ. Hebrews 12 says, don't despise the chastisement of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord. It don't feel good at that time, but when it runs its course, you become a better person. You'll yield the fruits of righteousness. So if you're a Christian, reality is your aim, your goal should not be a life with no struggles, because you recognize that there is some value in struggle. There is growth in struggle. There is the ability to yield righteousness from struggle. What our goal should be is peace despite struggle. That's the goal that we should have. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The author of Philippians is Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. And in a general sense, this book is dedicated to really just encourage them in their faith, encourage them in their walk, encourage them to take on humility like Jesus did, so on and so forth. So this is another area where he's encouraging them. He's encouraging them to be anxious for nothing. Do you know what it means to be anxious for nothing? I want you to take a deep breath like I am right now. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's one of our favorite verses in the Bible. Because if there's any part of you who feels like you need to be worried in order to give off the fact that you're a responsible human being, it's time to unlearn that. Being worried is not responsible. And being carefree is not necessarily irresponsible. So it's okay to not be anxious. I don't know who needed to hear that. But it's okay to not be anxious. I needed to hear that. It's okay to be carefree. I'm not saying negligent. I'm not saying seek, because my hope is that the lack of anxiety in your life is not a product of neglecting the work that you need to do. When there was a situation that came, you presented the prayer, the supplication, and the thanksgiving to the Lord. You made your request known to the Lord. And because you trusted him so much, because you acknowledge him so much, because you believe that he is who he says he is, and that he loves you like he says he's loved you, and that he's demonstrated, you now experience, you now receive the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You know, I love that part that says surpasses all understanding. This peace that's so lofty, that is so different, so foreign, so unfamiliar. Man, you know that you are depending on God when you can pray about something, and before it has even come to fruition, you are already experiencing his peace. That's because you're dependent on him. Those are my three. Those are my three for this episode. You know, we'll go through the four next episode, the other four. All right. But I hope that as we're having this conversation, you can reflect, you can evaluate yourself, and not in a way that makes you feel shameful about where you're at in your Christian walk or how often you don't depend on the Lord. Trust me, I need you to understand that when God wants to call out your sin, when he wants to call out the way that you're doing something wrong, it is not for you to feel bad about yourself. It is for you to make a change. It's for you to make a change because he loves you. And he wants an intimate relationship with you. He deserves it too. And I pray that you can look at yourself with a sober mind and be real with yourself and scrutinize yourself as I am. Like I said, I'm not 7 for 7. We already didn't. I mean, I could do better in all these areas if I'm being completely honest with you. And we'll get better together, as my late cousin would say. R.I.P. OJ. We'll get better together. So yeah, let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this episode. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to just go through your word and to just be able to look at what it means to depend on you and be able to see areas where we need to grow, Father, where we need to depend on you more. Or where we're not depending on you at all. So we definitely need to tap in. We need to lock in. And I pray you help us too, Lord. Help us to depend on you. Help us to trust you. We need your help. Father, your word says, you know, Philippians 2:13, it's you that is in us doing the work to do and to will, to do what pleases you. I probably butchered that verse, but you know what I mean, God. And I just pray that you help us. Help us to have a better relationship with you, oh God. Many of us, we struggle in this area. Help us not to be, you know, led by fear and pride and lust and people, but to truly be led by you and your spirit, oh God. Father, let the first person that we think of when we're in trouble is you. Father, when we have all these things going on around us in this life, good or bad, help us to always see it and perceive it through the context of your sovereignty, oh God. Father, when we pray, help us to pray and let go. Father, help us to live this life in a posture of trust and a posture of surrender. And help who we are, the way we think, the way we talk, what we do, be pleasing to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. We'll continue next episode, all right, next week. Hope to see some of you guys at Bible study tonight, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. And I hope that you guys have an amazing week. If you have any questions, any concerns, hit me up. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely here to be a resource to you all, especially as we are exploring different ways that we as an organization can be more of a resource to you. You know, I'd love to continue to have conversations with some of you guys in my DMs and stuff like that. So yeah, slide in my DMs. I love you guys. Have an amazing week. Peace.